Good morning. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. To be gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are truly grateful to have that privilege. And I'm grateful to have it with each and every one of you. I want to jog your memory back a little bit to a television show that was fairly popular, that always made me laugh. And it was Sanford and Son. You might remember Fred, Lamont, Aunt Esther, Bubba, Grady. On Sanford and Son, there was two police officers that made an appearance on that show quite regularly. One of them was the white police officer named Officer Hopkins, or Hoppy. Hoppy was a straight-laced guy who couldn't quite fit in with the Sanfords. However hard he tried, he would refer to things, you know, as, man, that was cold. And they said, you mean cool? He said, yeah, that's what I mean. I mean cool. He said, that right there, that's right up. And they said, you mean right on? He said, yeah, right on, right on. He tried to be something that he wasn't. He was a certain way, and he tried to act like he was somebody else. Tried to act like maybe he was from the ghetto, when in fact, Hoppy ain't never been in no ghetto. We are Christians, and we don't need to live like everyone else. Yesterday evening, Heather Stevenson decided that she was not going to live like everyone else. And Heather was baptized into Christ. And we gained a new sister yesterday evening. We rejoice with the angels in heaven for her decision that she has made to follow Christ. We have put on the name of Christian, just as Heather had put it on. And we are not like everyone else. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. It talks about people seeing you for who you really are. I think too many times personally that I try to be like Jell-O, and I try to mold with my circumstances that I'm in. And I try to fit in the best I can while maybe having certain criteria and lines of saying that, well, I'll do this, but I won't do that. I'll go this far, but I'm going to stop here. And while I set those lines up in my mind, too oftentimes I get an eraser out and I'll get rid of those lines in the middle of my actions. Because I try to be like everyone else. I try to fit in with the world when that's not what I'm supposed to be. Hoppy tried to fit in with the Sanfords like he was from the ghetto when that wasn't who Hoppy was. We don't need to be like the world. We're not supposed to be like the world. We're not supposed to be conformed to the world. We're supposed to transform ourselves, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. We're not to love the world, but rather we are to love God. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. Those who do those things, who give in to those lusts, those things of the world, is not from the Father, but from the world. We're supposed to live our lives as Christians as if we are from the Father. Because we are His children, and we have decided in our hearts that we are not going to be like the world. That we're going to put away that old man and be a new man, to be a new creature. And live every day for Him. And so the question comes, just as Christ told the disciples and the multitudes and His Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, how are we going to display our light for men? What is it that we are going to do that others can see our light shine? For we are in this world, but we do not love this world. or the things in this world. But we love our Father. That we represent our Father. So what are some things that we can do to make sure that we don't live like everybody else? And we don't get caught up in the world and start to be part of the world. Well, the first thing that I can think of is get on fire. Quit just being here and being enough. Get on fire for the Lord. In my class that I have on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, know what I'm talking about. Get on fire. The church in Laodicea was written to in Revelation chapter 3 and was told this. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You see, we try to fit in. We may be hot and we may be hot water, but we got dumped into a bunch of cold water. And what we're trying to do is we're just trying to even the temperature out a little bit with us. We just try to, you know, kind of smooth everything over. We were on fire. We were hot at one time, but now we've kind of cooled off and we've become lukewarm. So how is it that we have gone from being hot and being on fire for God and we have cooled off and become lukewarm? Well, we have started to see church as a club. As a social club, whether that's the Civitan Club, the Lions Club, the Country Club. I don't know what kind of club you want to think of in your mind, but you've considered your membership in church as a membership in a club. The Home Builders Association, whatever club you want to think of it as, you've considered church a club. In other words, you put your membership dues in the plate when it comes around and you pat yourself on the back and you think, you know, I've done my part. I'm here when I got to be, but I'm not going to do anything extra. I'm not going to go anything above and beyond to be really a true member of the church. You see, the church is not that club that we just get to go to and feel good and see everybody and hey, how you doing? We have some common interests, but you're part of it. You're a living being. You are the church. You are what is the church. It's not just something to be part of. You have a purpose in it. You have a job to be that hand, that foot, that body of Christ, that you are a specific member. Doing the deeds that I cannot do because perhaps I'm a toe or a foot and you're a hand or a finger. The church is not a club. The church is the body of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5 says, having a form of godliness but denying its power. They just try to look like God. Maybe even act like God, but totally annihilating the true godly form of righteousness. Viewing attendance as good enough. You know what? I'm here. I've checked in. And I'm going to check out. I'll be here from 10 to 12. And then at 12, I'm checking out. Well, that preacher's still going. The songs are still singing. Our prayer's still being prayed. At 12, I'm checking out. That's it. I'm done. I'm over. I consider it a privilege to have known this man for a small bit of my life, and some of you are familiar with Steve Pettis. Steve, as a young man, I thought a lot of him and who he was. And he oftentimes referred to the church as, at the time, there was a Subway card. And Subway gave you a card, and you got a stamp or a sticker, or they gave you the little punch thing like they did at the Pizza Inn up in Ardmore. That after about every six inch subs at Subway, you would get 1 6-inch sub for free. That was their deal. And Steve referred to it as there's a bunch of people that are Christians that are just simply toting around a Subway card. And the point being was that they're going to come to church enough to get their card punched so that maybe that day when they get to the pearly gates of heaven that they can go and look at how many times I got my card punched. Look at how many times I showed up. And see, the whole point being is back to point number one where you're looking at it like a club where I just get to go and, you know, I'm there and I get to be a member and my picture's in the directory and I'll make it again next year because that picture isn't good enough. When being a church member is something so much more than that. You've been cooled off. The fire's starting to burn out. One thing that I see when people start to become lukewarm is they start to toss around God's name. That's something that's so hard for me to just go along with. OMG. Oh gosh. Oh God. Why? Oh. Oh my God. Look at that. That's how cute. The name of God is just totally taking a back seat to them. They've cooled off and don't care about God. Don't care about being what they're supposed to be. And become totally lukewarm. And in becoming lukewarm, they've become and started acting like that part of the world. So how do you overcome that lukewarmness? Well, it's very simple. It's quite a profound statement that if you're lukewarm and that you're starting to be cooled off, then those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. I've wrote you these things for this part for you to know. Be zealous and repent. Well, if you haven't been giving it your all, quit. Quit doing it halfway and do everything. Be on fire. Repent from the way you've been doing things and quit being wishy-washy and do what God wants you to do. Quit living like the world, trying to look a little bit like God just enough to make everybody at church happy and then being so full of the world that you make the world happy and everybody at work happy and all your friends happy and everybody at the true club happy. Quit living for yourself and live for God. Get on fire for Him. Quit living like the world. Don't live like everyone else. I think about keeping away from evil. Back to the lines that I would draw, or have drawn. You know, I draw them all the way up to the point of evil, and that's where it's going to stop. Now, I'll get as close to it to look at it, as I talked about a couple weeks ago, where I would get all the way up to the edge and look at it, just trying to stay away from it. Why don't we just keep away from evil altogether? Talked about a guy that he was hunting. He said, you know, I keep having a problem with when I shoot a deer. He said it goes onto my neighbor's property. I said, well, where's your tree stand at? He said, on the property line. I said, well, maybe you ought to move your tree stand. Instead of getting all the way up against evil, why don't we just keep away from it entirely? Avoid it at all costs. Don't get close to it. Don't play with it. Just keep away from it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, abstain from every form of evil. Abstain from every fleshly lust, some versions say. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, the latter part of verse 11 says, abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. Not one person that you meet in this world is going to abstain from the fleshly lusts. People that are of the world are going to indulge in the fleshly lusts. They're going to drink the Kool-Aid, so to speak, of all of the fleshly lusts because they have nothing else to live for. You being a Christian changes what you live for. It's no longer living for me and myself and what I want. But it's changed me entirely to where I want to keep away from everything that is of the world. That I'm going to live for what God wants. I've traded in my wants and my wishes and my desires for what God wants for me. And out of me. Romans chapter 12 verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to that which is good. And so if we're going to not be like the world, then we're going to keep away from evil. We're going to hate the things that God hates. We're going to love the things that which God loves. We're not going to be like everyone else because everyone else is consumed with those fleshly lusts. We've decided to be something different. As I was thinking about these things about not being like the world, I couldn't help but think about as a child, and perhaps you were you could be the reverse of this. I don't know. Maybe you heard these same things. Why can't you be more like your sister and make grades like her? I heard that. That was the one that I heard. And why can't you be like Ryan? Why can't you act like him? He don't act foolishly when they go to the store. He acts ridiculous. Well, I don't understand why you can't be more mature like Greg. Greg acts right when he's in public. Why can't you be more like that? And you know what was funny is when I started acting like Greg and I started acting like Ryan, I started acting like all those people, and we did stuff that we weren't supposed to do. Well, why did you act like them? If they all jumped off a bridge, would you jump off that bridge too? Why don't we set the standard forth to say, why don't you act like what God wants you to act like? Why don't we keep away from evil? Why don't we get on fire? Why don't we just remember who we are? Just remember who you are and where you're from. I had a coach that's what he would always say before we would leave for a field trip in school, or whether we'd go play a ball game somewhere else, or you go to a tournament or somewhere, and it was always, remember who you are. Because you're going to be wearing a jersey that's got the school's name on it, and everybody's going to know who you are. And you're representing that school back home. You remember who you are. And see, when you leave this building, people know you go to Ephesus. They know you're a Christian. You remember who you are and what you represent. Is that you're representing Christ. Above representing me, or above representing the elders, or above representing this church, you represent Christ. And when you act a way that is like the world, people see that and they go, well, why would I want any part of that? Why do I want anything to do like that? I mean, with them. They're acting just like me. And then they want me to go with them. Well, I mean, what difference is it? What difference is it? If they're going to act like me on this, I mean, I might as well stay home and we go fishing on Sunday. Might as well, you know, go away and watch the ball game. Remember who you are. Remember where you're from. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we read the second half of verse 11 earlier. We'll read the whole verse 11 and verse 12. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. I think so many times we forget who we are. Brother Dwight, in his prayer, said, we pray to go home. That home that we have with you in heaven. I think sometimes we forget that we're aliens and we're strangers here on this earth. In the preceding verses of this, he talks about the children of God being a chosen people, a peculiar people in some versions. You're set apart, you're different. Because you are believers. And you are aliens and you're strangers. You say that you're not of this world. And we sing the song that this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. But yet we live not only in this world, but so many times we find ourselves living for this world. Well, in this world is not my home. This is not where I want to be. We've sung about a place that's called heaven. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful home is. Yesterday morning we had to go to work with that small storm come through. And a guy who was a transplant to North Alabama pulled up beside the bucket truck and I was waiting. He said, when you guys going to get the power on? And I said, Said, "You ain't from around here, are you, buddy?" You know, the guy kind of sticks out, doesn't he? We go to a mall, or we go eat, or we go somewhere. We see this guy or gal or what have you that's got this red mohawk with the blue tips on it and gauged ears. Haley knows when something like that happens because I give her the... You look at that over there. Oh, hey, you know. She'll slowly, you know, stretch her back, you know, when she turns around to look. See, those people, they stick out because they're not like us, right? They don't know what coveralls and work boots are like, what dust is and dirt is and what it's like to get nasty. They ain't like us. They stick out a little bit, don't they? I wonder if when we walk into Walmart or we walk into work or we walk into wherever, if people give us the head nod. Look at that guy. Look at that girl. Something's different about them. They're weird, aren't they? Look at that goof over there. He's talking about God and Jesus and all that stuff. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, among the heathens, so that in the thing in which they slandered you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. I wonder if we stick out like somebody that ain't from around here. That we're not like everybody else in the world. That we get looked at as funny and odd and peculiar because we're doing what God wants us to do to stand out. And we remember who we are. And we keep what God wants us to be above everything else. John chapter 17 and verse 16. Quickly wrap this up. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Christ praying to God and talking about His disciples. He says, they're not of the world, neither am I of this world. Keep protection over them. Keep them. I know they're going to be in the world, He says in the preceding verses. He said, I know they're going to be in the world, but just keep protection from the evil one. Keep them safe. Christ has prayed for you to be kept safe from the evil one. So that you could be what you ought to be. And that is an ambassador for Christ. When we talk about those ambassadors, those U.S. ambassadors to the embassy over in France or Egypt or Ukraine or wherever it may be. And what they are representative in a foreign country, in a foreign place to what's back home. Are you really an ambassador for Christ? I want you to really think about that. Do you really represent home? Do you really represent Christ and the home of where our real home is to all of the aliens, as we're aliens and strangers here on this earth? Do you represent Christ to those people? The kingdom of God to those people here on this earth that you live in such a way that you represent Christ here? If not, you have forgotten who you are. Because really there's only one that we should want to be like. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you. Be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. You have a decision to make this morning. Of whether you're going to be like the world or whether you're going to be like God and be like what God wants you to be. I think about this passage so much in the entirety because of what Joshua really said. In Joshua 24 verse 15, he says, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. He said, If you want to, you figure out today who you're going to serve. Are you going to be like the rest of the world and what they serve and the gods they serve over in Egypt? Or are you going to serve the gods of the land in which we live in? Are you going to be like everyone else here on this earth and be like the world? You decide. You decide if you're going to serve God or you're going to be like the world. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This morning, I want you to decide today. If it's for God, then great. Serve the Lord. If you're going to be like the world, then live it up. Because this world is all you've got. But as for me, I'm going to serve God. And one day I'm going to go home. And we do all this because we want you all to go home too. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, come as we stand and as we sing.